The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on WMAL.
The news is never easy. Whether you have someone that you know that maybe is a relative of yours that is struggling, is fighting the good fight to stay with this world, and then they pass, or whether it's sudden and unexpected. The fact is that the loss of a loved one, especially a parent, is just never easy to hear. And it's really never easy to bear. The details of dealing with an estate sale, they tend to compound the difficulties of such a time. You may have never faced what I'm discussing today, but its relevance in your life will impact your ability to respond well when the time comes. So stay with me. We're going to outline some thoughts on efficiently liquidating a decedent's property and possessions. And I'm not an attorney. I'm not an accountant. I've worked with many professionals throughout my years in real estate who have passed along valuable information about topics such as this one. So when a parent passes away, it's really necessary to determine who has the right to the property left behind. Recently, I have a client who passed while we're moving towards settlement, meaning she sold the property, she signed the contract, but she passed away before we went to settlement. Now, you can imagine what could happen in that situation. If no one's there to sign the settlement papers, how can you transfer title? It's important in this situation that we identify who the executor or executrix, which is what you would call a woman who's the executor, the executrix, who's going to be that person and be handling the sale of the property and executing, which is where the word comes from, executing the last wishes of the person who passed. It's important you review your parents' will to identify the recipient of that real estate title. Who's going to be the executor? Know in advance. Ask your parents if you have never asked them. If you don't have that kind of a conversation where you feel like, I don't want to talk to them about death. Folks, it is important that you do. It's important for them. You will serve them by breaking through and having conversations, which might otherwise be very difficult for you to have, to know, hey, who will be the executor if and when you pass, so that the kids all know, everybody's on the same page, and there's a, like passing the baton in a marathon, you want that baton to pass well, right? Otherwise, you lose the race. You want to pass that baton effectively, mom and dad, to whoever's going to be that executor, and you want to have those details written up. If your parents die intestate, which is what you say, without a will, the rights are eventually given to the heirs. The heirs will not receive the title until a personal representative has been assigned and has read the will, if there's a will. And that process varies between states in the D.C. metro area, between D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. You definitely want to see an attorney for specifics in your area. Alternately, when the owners of a house are no longer able to care for their property or themselves, courts will appoint a conservator or a guardian to supervise the property and the personal well-being of the owners. And this court-appointed representative then has the right and duty to hold and manage all property belonging to the wards. The ward is the person that's being cared for by that conservator or guardian. Now, I'll tell you a story about such an example where I had the privilege of hearing about a property where the owner was now in a nursing home. I say the privilege because in hearing about it, I did some investigation and found out that this lady who owned the property, Esther was her name, she had been given a guardian to look out for her in the sale of her property. And I, through my process of just pursuing an opportunity to try to help someone sell their property and not really understanding who the person was or what their circumstance was, discovered who the guardian was. And when I approached the guardian and said, hey, I would be interested in helping if there's an opportunity to be helpful here, this gentleman, he asked me if I would go over to the property and prepare a market evaluation of it. Now, I did. I went over. The house was packed with stuff. There was an old Chrysler K car in the front of the property. Yes, you remember those. It was a house full of stuff. Now, it was a one-level, no-basement home with just two bedrooms. It was a fairly modest property by some accounts, and yet there was stuff everywhere, and it was antiques from China and from other travels throughout time. There were wine bottles in a rack. There was silver in a closet. There were candles and candles and candles everywhere throughout the property. Well, the guardian in this case asked me to go by and take a look at the property. I walked through, prepared a market evaluation, and then went over to meet with them. And at the time, I recommended a price. And he said, hey, would you be interested in buying the property with everything inside of it as is? I said, well, I hadn't really thought of it, but what would the price be? And he quoted me a price which was less than what I recommended, but of course the price I recommended would require fix up and getting everything out of the property. And so the guardian saw an opportunity to dispose of the house and the contents of the house in a very quick fashion, in a way that would serve his client, the ward, that he was caring for so that she could continue to pay for her nursing care at the nursing facility. Well, we came to our price and I signed the contract to buy the property in as-is condition with everything included. Well, as it turns out, we settled just a day before she passed. And as I was going through the property and being a single guy at the time, finding this a little bit more like a treasure hunt than dealing with my own decedent's estate, I became somebody who wrestled the way that you might wrestle if you were going through a decedent's estate. Although I didn't have the emotional connection to the items in the property, I quickly became overwhelmed by what was in, how much was in the property, what I was going to do with stuff, and what was the value of the things on the inside of the house. Furthermore, I discovered things in the house that I had to wrestle with understanding that had real value. There was the loaded gun in the drawer next to the bed. Turns out the owner was a CIA analyst. She had a box full of keys to I don't know what kind of important boxes in some airport terminal across the globe. Who knows? But, you know, an imagination runs wild. There were some antiques, some old prints that had been purchased in China back in the 50s. On some travel trip, some trip across the world, and there was a suitcase with a stamp on the side of it from the Queen Mary visit. You know, actually, the lady had taken the cruise across the Atlantic on the Queen Mary. Then I found wine, and then I found $110,000 in bonds in a file. I found $110,000 in bonds. Now, they weren't bearer bonds, but they were bonds nonetheless in her name, and they were in the house, and they represented value that became a question. Did I have the right to those $110,000 in bonds? Could I keep that? Since I purchased the property as is, with everything in the property conveying as is, did I have some right to those bonds? Lastly, a couple of days into my search through the property, I discovered the will, which willed the money that would come from the sale of the property and the sale of the other items that this woman had to the University of Minnesota. So how did I resolve that $110,000 question? We'll find out straight ahead.